This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Now, every week we try to bring you a conversation that helps toward our mission of preventing abortion and helping those it has hurt. And I know so many people who never were pro-life, myself among that number. I mean, I didn't really think about the issue at all as a young woman before I chose abortion. I was clueless. I totally had a feminist default worldview, which meant I can do what I want. I was not walking in any sort of Christian faith or truth, even though I had some grounding of that in my background as a child. But when a problem pregnancy occurred, someone said to me, here's a solution. I didn't reflect on it morally. I certainly wasn't thinking about politics or the law. I opted for that solution. Now, having learned the truth of everything that cost me, I wanted others to know and not make the same mistake. And it is a result of having tried to engage people to prevent abortion that I became pro-life. In the very beginning of my redemption of an abortion, I was not pro-life. I was pro-mercy. I was pro-redemption. I was pro-Jesus Christ can heal you and save you and make you new. But I had no regard for unborn life. I'm sorry to tell you that. It still had not become a priority to me or very real in my thinking. But this is the ultimate purpose of this program, is to show you the value of all life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to educate and raise awareness so that others don't make the same mistake that I made, not because of law, not because of trying to impose morals on you, but for a great love for the unborn, reflecting the love that Jesus has for them. So I need to revisit that every once in a while and just tell you why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing. And I'm still, you know, we still get reaction from people of keep your laws off my uterus. And believe me, that's not what we're about. Our guest for this segment of Cradle My Heart Radio also has a story to tell and also has become an advocate for women and, yes, for unborn life. It's a great pleasure to welcome back to Cradle My Heart Radio, Eve Sanchez-Silver. And Eve, how are you? It's so nice to speak with you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well. Eve is a dynamic motivational speaker and life advocate, family life, peer-to-peer crisis intervention speaker and trainer. She's spoken all over the world. She's the founder of the International Coalition of Color for Life and Clear Research LLC. She's a researcher, and that has been her link into the world of pro-life. As a bioethicist, she's focused on minority women, preterm birth risks, and the abortion breast cancer link. And she's also a breast cosmesis specialist, developed the Me Again kit, which we'll talk about because I think people need to know about that, Eve. But you've got some priorities as to what's on your mind and heart today. And I wanted to talk with you about the Hush film. I saw it last year, and at this point, almost a year on, I find it incredible that few people have seen it. Give us the thumbnail elevator pitch as to what this movie is about before we begin discussing the state of where the film is today.
Thanks for giving me this opportunity to talk about the film. Just to let people know a little bit about my connection with this topic. I was a medical research analyst and traveled internationally talking about the link between abortion and breast cancer. And I have a history of two abortions in my background. Very similar to you, I just thought that was the answer, didn't think twice about it. And at the time, I was not didn't have any kind of relationship with God. So, you know, God was not someone I talked to personally. At any rate, it's very different for me now. And at the time, I thought this was the answer. So many women, I think, fall into that category. You're busy, you're working, you think this is what I need to do without realizing that there might be ramifications physically to you once you do have an abortion. And when I learned about the link between abortion and breast cancer, I was really surprised to find that people would rather keep a hold of their perspective of women's rights and, you know, feminist perspectives that block any discussion on the link between abortion and breast cancer or what abortion does to the baby. Nobody wanted to talk about that.
I have to stop you because I had a conversation recently and the point was made that presented clear evidence. All the opposition has to do is create doubt about the messenger, right? All the opposition has to do is to say, oh, that researcher, well, no one, you know, puts any stock in their research. All they have to do is create doubt. And people in the abortion lobby, people who are connected to abortion and profiting from it, have become masters at this. And, you know, so I want to say that you are a warrior because what you are doing is standing up to that as more and more. I mean, the greater your platform becomes, the more you are attacked for your credibility. And so I just want people to understand, you know, that these are the ground rules that you're operating under. And so and I think that the insight that you just gave us there, people would rather hold on to their opinion than weigh the evidence and come to the truth. It explains exactly the crossroads where we find ourselves, not only on the abortion and breast cancer link, but on so many other issues connected to it. So please go ahead and continue.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, and I appreciate it. It is not something easy, but it's what's been given to me, and I honestly think this is the only thing I'm interested in promoting in my life, is for people to wake up and understand there really is a link between abortion and breast cancer. There is a link between the Komen Foundation and Planned Parenthood. And we've seen that. I've been talking about that for 20 years. And in the most recent years, we've seen with David DeLayden's work in discovering the baby parts market and bringing that to the foreground, we are starting to see bricks being pulled out of the foundation of the Planned Parenthood machine, abortion machine. And the Komen Foundation has fallen quite a bit as a result of that as well. I used to be part of their National Hispanic Latina Advisory Council and was beginning the National Native American narrative also. And I withdrew when I learned that they were funding Planned Parenthood, that Komen Foundation was funding Planned Parenthood. Millions of dollars going nowhere fast. And women's lives are at risk. This is the most important thing that people don't know. People have been saying the baby doesn't matter. What they don't understand is that they are also throwing the mommy out with the bathwater. And we are seeing more and more young women die as a result of breast cancer because of their prior abortions.
Eve Sanchez-Silver is our guest, and she is a breast cancer researcher. Eve, you're involved with the Komen Foundation on the inside for quite a while. And as Eve has mentioned, she also has an abortion in her past or more than one. And so she's a stakeholder in the debate on many different fronts. And so the thumbnail sketch for the Hush documentary, for people that are not familiar with it, we've talked about it a lot on this program, but for people who haven't seen it, what did the filmmaker set out to do?
basically, the movie Hush, it's a very important film. It's important in pro-life and pro-choice populations. In other words, it just literally flattens the politics and clearly presents the heinous, unreported abortion risks to women worldwide. There's expert clinical and preterm risk information, psychological testimonies, and from psychological experts as well, and the real insights of women and experiences without the gory abortion photography that stymies conversation in a lot of situations.
So we're looking at the detrimental impact on the physical health of women concerning mental health, breast cancer, and then fertility issues and reproductive health. It was those three areas that the film sought to find scientific evidence as to whether or not abortion is detrimental to women.
Yeah, and I'm very disappointed in the evangelical community. I'm kind of stunned that something like this has been handed over to us, basically, for us to just see and pass out. All we have to do is tell people to go see hushfilm.com. Go see the movie. It's at hushfilm.com. That's all we really have to do. And I'm shocked and dismayed by the evangelical reaction to this, because people are just not seeing and aren't interested in viewing the film to the level that we should. Every Christian should have seen it by now. I'm sure more Christians have seen the movie Bella than have seen this film, or the other, you know, pro-life directed movies. But this film is really excellent, and it's also a World Documentary Film Festival Gold Award winner.
And I have to say, none of those people
were pro-life, probably.
Right. And I've seen both. I've seen Bella and I've seen the Hush film. They're both excellent. You know, people love stories, which is why I think Bella is as popular as it is. But there's a great story here. You had a woman who's pro-choice, staunch feminist, and proud of her feminist heritage with her mother and grandmother. And she experiences a late-term miscarriage and says, wait a minute, is this... You know, I've heard that some things happen when pregnancy is abruptly stopped, as with abortion. Could the same things be happening to me physically because of this late-term miscarriage, right? This was the premise. This is her story. This is what she set out to try to find, you know, answers to as to why is this so controversial? This is a public health issue. To me, that is a really compelling story. This is not a pro-life activist. This is not a Christian ideologue. This is a woman who is everything but that, who wants to know the facts and who wants to know the truth, and the way that she discovers it. Eve, tell me the most surprising moments in the film for you, because maybe I'll share a couple of mine too.
Yeah, I think Poonam Tajgil, she's an award-winning director and wrote this wonderful film.
Her story.
She wrote the dialogue to this film. So that's kind of the biggest surprise to me, is that the producers, who are pro-life at Mighty Motion Pictures, were smart enough to bring in someone who was pro-abortion and willing to do the film. To me, that was it was a stroke of genius, because it flattened the politics so well. And the facts of the film, you know, for me, having gone around everywhere giving my lectures, to see the facts fit together like Tetris blocks in this film, you cannot argue. For instance, there's a wonderful explanation of the fact that a young woman who smokes has such a tremendous increased risk of breast cancer if she starts smoking very early. A 600% risk of breast cancer if she starts smoking within 10 years of having had her first menses, her first period. However, if she has a child full term, the protective effect of pregnancy is such that the same woman can start smoking at that same age and her risk is only 60%. That's incredible. It shows you the important effect of pregnancy and how it actually protects the woman. I think that's something that no one talks about. No one discusses the fact that pregnancy is protective of a woman and of a woman's life when you consider the risks. For instance, black women have a higher risk of pregnancy. Black women have a higher risk of breast cancer. They have a 30% increased risk of breast cancer, regardless of the fact of whether or not they had an abortion. If they didn't have an abortion, they still have that higher risk than white women. Why is that? I don't know. Nobody knows. It's the same way that black people have a higher risk, are the people who are subject to things like sickle cell anemia. Well, if you already have a 30% increased risk of breast cancer, what does adding an abortion to it, when we know that abortion raises your risk? Black women are not told to this. There's no one, nowhere, there's nothing that's presenting this kind of information.
No, and this is the point here, is that I think one of the handles for the film is pro-truth.
It's like, yes, it is.
Pro-facts. You know, if black women knew that, would they be choosing abortion at the rates that they are? For me, Eve, one of the most striking things was the archival footage of the scientists
at
the annual meetings putting down discussion and deciding to not publish the research, deciding to not endorse where the science took them. And for you as a cancer researcher, I just love to hear your reaction to those moments in the film.
When I saw that footage, the thing that stood out to me is that smack in the middle of the film, the two doctors, the two researchers that showed one of the most important things that's ever come out regarding breast cancer and abortion, they're sitting right in the middle of the film. And it's Dr. Jose and Irma Russo. We lost Irma not very long ago. It's a tremendous, tragic situation. But those two researchers were sitting right in the middle of the film. And it's kind of like, to me, it was like the imprimatur pay attention here, you know. They showed that rat breasts are very similar to human breasts, and they showed that aborting rats giving them cancer, like literally injecting them with cancer, and then having a different group of rats that were allowed to carry their pups to term and then giving them the same, actually injecting them with cancer. It showed the tremendous number of rats that developed breast cancer after having had an abortion, and the lack of breast cancer in the group that was allowed to carry their pups to term and nurse. That was an amazing find. And they're sitting right there in the middle of this discussion about how we're not going to talk about this. There's nothing to be found here. Move along. That section of the film was tremendously impactful to me. The fact that Dr. Joel Brind, who's now he's the world's foremost authority on the link between abortion and breast cancer. It's amazing to me that he's in the film trying to give his information. He was the only one that spoke up against the link between abortion and breast cancer. And he was not allowed to speak. And the fact that the footage remained online.
Mm-hmm. Eve Sanchez-Silver is our guest. She's a life advocate. She's a breast cancer researcher. She has spoken internationally about the abortion breast cancer link, and she's also an advocate, particularly for women of color, to be informed about the risks to our physical health that abortion presents. A lot of your work is coalesced in this film. in the Hush documentary. The La Femme Film Festival in L.A. called Hush one of the top 25 films all women must see. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, well, what about a wider audience? If the church said no, Jesus said shake the dust off and go someplace
right.
where they'll listen, right?
Exactly.
So what are the chances as to the information getting out, to the film getting a wider audience?
I was able to premiere the Hush film at the United Nations on March 23rd, 2016. I was chair of the event. And at the end of the film, I just did I asked for people to raise their hands, and I said, if you think this film is important and that you are going to take the information back so that women in your country, people in your country will be able to look for it and see it, please raise your hand. Every hand went up. I know that this is an important film. It's an important film for everyone. There were people in, you know, this was the United Nations, not, you know, some church somewhere, and every hand went up. We know that there is an important message. And one of the most important things I found out at that time when I was rolling out that film is that the United Nations in that same week was rolling out their plan to have abortion available across the planet globally and make countries pay for the abortions so that it's available to any woman, every woman. And all I could see is more and more and more breast cancer spreading throughout the planet. Now, those things happened at the same time, and I don't think that was an accident. Do you?
Eve Sanchez-Silver, and give us your website, the best way that people can find you. Of course, we'll have it all linked at cradlemyheart.org, but if someone is wanting to get in touch with you right away or learn more about your work, what's the best way to find you online, Eve?
The best way to, well, my email address is silver@cocolife.us. silver@cocolife.us. And my website is www.cocolife.us. To see the film, please see www.hushfilm.com.
Okay, and we'll have all of that for you at cradlemyheart.org. Eve,
right.
I know that we've only got about a few minutes left, and I could seriously talk with you all day because not only do you have such a heart for this issue, but you have such a broad base of knowledge that people need to understand. Let's go back, and the first time I ever heard you speak at a conference, you talked about the risk to the budding breast that abortion poses.
Yes.
And we've got, again, seriously, about 2 minutes or less for you to paint that picture for us. But it's a very compelling one. And I think that if more people knew, more people would be aware of why there is an ABC link.
Yeah. Yes. The breast, if you think of it like little branches of broccoli or grapes, and when a baby is born, a little girl is born, and as she matures, she has very few little branches and no buds at all. There are no buds at the end of those little branches in her breast. As she matures, she gets more and more of those little branches. Estrogen and other hormones develop these little branches. As she grows, she will continue to grow these little branches and never develop any buds, and I'll explain why. The breast is the only organ that's not fully developed in the body at birth. All the other organs, heart, liver, kidney, all done. However, the breast does not become fully mature until after 32 weeks of pregnancy. That is when the little branches develop buds at the end that are going to be filled with milk. And those, once the baby is born at 32 weeks and the buds develop into these milk-producing glands and the baby starts to nurse, the change of having those buds at the end protect the breast from the estrogens and hormones that have increased the risk of pregnancy, because it absolutely converts the cells from cancer prone to cancer resistant cells. So if you interrupt a pregnancy,
right,
what happens when you get your period? Your breasts hurt because right away you're getting more and more of these branches that are growing in your breast. And if you interrupt a pregnancy, the woman's breast has developed so many more branches.
Sure.
You are now ending the pregnancy before those immature little cells at the tip of those little branches are protected. And you are leaving them awash with estrogen.
And you know, Eva,
that is very important because the World Health Organization classified estrogen as a class 1 carcinogen. You are leaving those cells in all of that. It's kind of like leaving matches in gasoline.
You know, we're out of time, but is there a resource that's comprehensive that people can learn more about the science of the abortion breast cancer link?
Sure. I'm going to send you to my site, and that's pinkmoney.org. Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
Stay with us now. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll take a look at some of the stories in the news on the life issue and your phone calls as well. Phones are open here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday evening. We are here for you, and we're live on this January 29th, 2017. 1-800-811-3003 is our number if you would like to join us with a question or comment after a remarkable week in Washington, D.C. with the March for Life coming just after the Abortion Pride Parade. The Women's March on Washington. An amazingly stark contrast from those two gatherings. Maybe you want to talk about that, some of the news coverage, some of the things that stood out for you. There are lots of other stories in the news that we could talk about. And I want to start off by telling you about something that's been happening on our Facebook page, which is at Cradle My Heart. So my publisher was very kind to offer a Kindle version or an ebook version. You can get it on Barnes & Noble, Google Play, not just Amazon for your Kindle, but it's on Amazon for 99 cents this week. And it's been wonderful to be able to say to people, this is a healing resource that you can have for under a dollar. A lot of work went into the production of the book, and it's been out there for a while, and we've popped into the bestseller lists on Amazon at other points in time. But here's your chance, if you've never had the opportunity to hear how God sees you now and to find God's love. If you had an abortion, these questions loom very, very large in the hearts of women who are heartbroken over abortion, and men too, but this resource is primarily for women. Well, anyway, so we put a Facebook post up, and here's what it said. It said, if you've had an abortion, all the news about it can be difficult, right? The Women's March, the March for Life. So it said, if you've had an abortion, all the news about it can be difficult. This book is for you, that you may know how God sees you and loves you still. Easy to order and read on Kindle until Sunday, available for under $1. You're not alone and there is hope. And then there's a picture of the book cover and there's a quote. You'd be amazed at some of the comments on that post. I mean, someone started it off by saying, I'm a counselor and there's absolutely a need for this resource. And this is, this is great. I'm really glad that something like this exists for women. People have been sharing the post, people that I don't know, which is extremely humbling and very, it's just a blessing. You know, there are a lot of barriers to writing a book like this. Interpersonally, I mean, I can, you know, I tell the story, and I tell it, you know, kind of humorously just to talk about, you know, my own internal struggles. But I wrestled with a long time in prayer in saying, Lord, I don't want to be known for this issue. I don't want to be the abortion lady. And the Lord is so sweet. He answered that prayer by saying, that's great. Write about me. And this book ended up to be a book about Jesus and redemption, and not just about, you know, my story. Although I do tell my story, he's made me unshy, if you will, bold to be able to talk about what he has done for me, how far he went to bring me back to himself. But it's really a book about the healing encounters that people had with Christ in the scriptures and how we can appropriate his ministry personality to the many challenges that abortion poses for us today, the guilt and the grief and the isolation and shame and, you know, a lot of the emotional and spiritual dynamics that go along with abortion. And so, you know, I wasn't arguing for or against abortion. I'm saying people have had abortions. They need spiritual help. They need to find God's love. So again, the counselor weighs in and says, this is great. But boy, there are just folks in every crowd that drop by to leave comments about, you know, people don't deserve redemption. People don't deserve, you know, people. You can go for and read them yourself again on Facebook at Cradle My Heart. One person said, I failed to understand. And then other people want to turn it into a referendum, right? So one commenter said, I failed to understand why a decision made by a stranger is any of your business. Abortion is a personal decision, mostly made with much thought and care. For you to second guess the choices made by another citizen under the laws of the land is beyond me, right? Remember what I said. If you had an abortion and the news is troubling to you and you want to know how God sees you and find his love for you in it, is this meddling in someone's decision or bringing up anything regarding the law? Help me out. 1-800-811-3003. And then that encourages other people to jump in with negativity. And, you know, Facebook is Facebook. I get that. Like everybody I know these days, I'm tempted to just say, okay, that was an experiment that really went wrong somewhere. And yet there's so many beautiful things that Facebook does that I'm not willing to do that. And, you know, people sharing the post and people offering encouragement is just a wonderful thing. And even 4 years ago when that book was published, and certainly 6 years ago when I was writing the book, the landscape looked really different. Because no one was talking about it in social media. Nobody was talking about, you know, the 8 to 10 million Christian women who've had abortions. And the walking wounded in the churches. And so I just encourage you, if you know somebody who needs a resource like this, it's under a dollar. And tonight's the last night of the special discount. It's still a very reasonable price after that. I think it's like $10 for the Kindle version. The Kindle version on Amazon. And we're not profiting from it. We are a nonprofit organization that helps present this radio program. And we have determined and have followed through on that decision to donate any net proceeds, that is, to pregnancy help centers. So I'm not enriched by any book sales. That was never the reason. Believe me, if I wanted to be rich or popular, I wouldn't have written a book on this topic at all. This is truly a labor of love to help people connect to the God you never knew, perhaps, when you chose abortion, or the God that you lost sight of when you made that choice, or the God who is merciful. Even if you knew him and chose abortion anyway, this is a huge stumbling block for Christian women. So just a heads up that until midnight on the 29th, the special is available. And if some people have a problem with that, I have no apology. You're simply going to have to work that out. If you spend any time at all listening to this broadcast, visiting our website at cradlemyheart.org, really reading what is posted on the Facebook page at Cradle My Heart, you know I'm 100% pro-life without exception. I am all in for the cause. I go and speak at Christian high schools and colleges, building the case for life, which is simply this. It's wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. Abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being. Therefore, it is wrong. That's the case for life from a moral standpoint. And we back it up with science that there is an innocent human being from conception forward. That's the science of embryology. That is not in dispute in medical science. And then we talk, you know, about it from a philosophical point of view. And we point out how we have value by virtue of having a human nature, which doesn't come in degrees. In other words, an infant doesn't have more of a human nature than an adult. A child in the womb doesn't have less of a human nature than a child out of the womb. And so I'm not condoning abortion. I'm not excusing abortion. It's a very different thing to say the reality is some have had abortions and need restoration. And that anyone doesn't understand that, really, I have to say right now, tonight, is part of the problem. I'm going to stand up and defend people who are broken by abortion from those who want to be righteous and whack them over the head with whatever it is they think they're doing in social media or thinly veiled within their churches or wherever it is that you as a Christian feel that you have the right to condemn people who have made sinful choices. I'm going to defend those sinners against you. That's the way it is. 1-800-811-3003. I'm sorry. I am sorry if that is offensive. This is not my intent to offend. But I was also asked to speak at an event this weekend called Me Too. And it was a gathering of women who have all been through abortion recovery ministries. And there are several of them in the Twin Cities where the event was held. The abortion recovery movement is maturing, and it exists alongside the pregnancy help movement, but also through standalone ministries like Rachel's Vineyard and others, Healing Hearts International. There are many. And people who have been through these programs and have expressed their healing out in the community in various ways, or maybe just inside their churches, or maybe just inside their families, or maybe just in their own hearts being at peace with the Lord, were invited to come and celebrate that victory. And I'm getting emotional thinking about what that looked like on the faces of these women. Because part of what happens when we recover from abortion is that we allow Jesus Christ to become our bridge of heavenly hope for the children whom he has received graciously back to himself. I can't point you to a verse in Scripture that tells me that. But I defy you to find one in Scripture that tells me that God can't do that, or that God wouldn't do that. And so many of us have had this supernatural connection through our Lord with our children in heaven, members of our family. Because again, remember, life begins at conception. And we've taken the step of naming our children, and at this gathering, we took a moment when everyone in the room was given the opportunity to say that name. And it was, oh my goodness, I can't tell you how moving that was. That's what being a follower of Jesus Christ looks like. Humility in victory. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. And again, I understand the frustration, especially on Facebook, where people can be not only not pro-life, but actively, you know, espousing ideas that are anti-life, that are in favor of abortion as a woman's right and personal and all these different things that people will argue, and even sometimes Christians will argue. And we can't allow ourselves as Christians to become frustrated by that. The pattern is this. We have to know Jesus Christ, which in turn engenders our love for Jesus Christ, which in turn enables our obedience to Jesus Christ. If we think we can start imposing the rules that we are empowered to obey as the ones who are loved by him and who love him, and after he initiated that love relationship with us by, you know, increasing our knowledge of him with the gift of faith, the gift of repentance, we're so far off the mark that we're going to remain frustrated by just hitting people with rules. It just doesn't work that way. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. I'm Kim Cotola. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Thanks for being with us tonight. Our phones are open. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-811-3003. Won't you join us here on Cradle My Heart Radio?
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
800-811-3003. Would just love to hear your thoughts. Maybe you went to the March for Washington, the March for Life in Washington, or maybe you watched media coverage. You have friends that went and you have a story you want to share. Would love to hear that. 1-800-811-3003. It really was historic. For me, one of the most remarkable presentations came from Congressman Mia Love of Utah, the first black member and from Utah. And she gave a speech that I can't even characterize for you because it would ruin the surprise of some of the most. It's like a 7-minute YouTube video that's just brilliant. It's just brilliant. And just Google Mia Love, March for Life, and watch it, because it's an irrefutable argument for the value of every life, told in a way that engages the emotions, and just a big bravo for that one. For me, of all the coverage, that was one of the most touching and moving moments that I saw depicted. So if you want to talk about that, you can join us, 1-800-811-3003. We could talk about, you know, some of the things that happened in D.C., President Trump signing the Mexico City policy, which has been back and forth, depending upon which party is in power. The president will fund international abortion with U.S. taxpayer dollars, or will stop the funding of international abortions with U.S. taxpayer dollars. You know, President Trump signed the executive order that the Mexico City policy would be reinstated. It was first put in place by President Reagan back in 1984. And again, you know, I called the Women's March on Washington the Abortion Pride March, because really that's what it was. You know, people were appalled when the gay pride movement began having parades that featured lewd, vulgar, obscene displays, you know, and that seemed to be the point. And it was all that and more on display for the purpose of advancing abortion rights. There were other stated agenda items, but nutcracking time came when pro-life women said, "We're on board with your agenda, except for we also want to protect unborn life," and they kicked them out. That was interesting. Anyway, you know, the battle is heating up. Because the gains that have been made under liberal administrations are threatening to be rolled back under more conservative leadership now. But The Guardian had a headline about the Mexico City policy that said, "Trump once said women should be punished for abortion. Now he's making it happen." Think about what is implied in that headline. President Trump said, "We won't pay for abortion." So she wrote in her article, the author wrote in her article in The Guardian, that this means women won't get the abortions they need. And the only reason a man would withhold an abortion from a woman is because he wants to punish her. We have to assume here that what she's saying is that pregnancy is a punishment. What she's saying is that childbearing, female biology, is a punishment. and that protecting the life of unborn children by the law is not simply honoring female biology, but punishing it. The fact that a newspaper of any repute would publish that headline, to me, is just an indication of how upside down the world is. Pregnancy is natural, normal, biological function of female biology. That may be hate speech in your mind. Binaryism, I don't know. Anyway, we can talk about that if you like. 1-800-811-3003. We have these, the stories that are in the news are posted on cradlemyheart.org. The blog post is slugged the takeaway for January 26th. And some of the other stories that we looked at included the fact that there was, in advance of the March for Life, there was a hashtag started on Twitter. And this one, as much as the world may, you know, and Facebook may be really bumming us out right now, this is really uplifting. So I think her name is Stacey Elliott. Someone on Facebook, or on Twitter, started the hashtag My Unintended Joy. And families started sharing their stories on Twitter of children who were born, although the doctor said they shouldn't carry that pregnancy forward, or children who were born, although the pregnancy happened when mom was very, very young, or mom was poor, or there were other some, you know, circumstances that said that this pregnancy wasn't planned and was a disaster. And the stories are so lovely. I don't think you even have to have a Twitter account. You can just go to twitter.com and put in hashtag my unintended joy. Beautiful, beautiful stories, and so many stories of children with special needs. You know, research a decade ago showed 92% of babies diagnosed with Down syndrome were aborted. New findings place that percentage at a much lower rate. Yet, many women still feel as if choosing life for a child with special needs is abnormal or impossible. Some will even say that it's a morally wrong choice. If you know a child is going to have a disability or be differently abled, that it's wrong of you to bring that child into the world for the suffering they may face. Again, very upside down reasoning. Totally not a biblical point of view. Every life has value. And the reality is, all of us are dependent all of our lives. All of us are permanently dependent, right? I mean, that's the big scare about having a child with special needs. But the reality is, all of us are dependent all of our lives on something or someone. My Unintended Joy, beautiful, beautiful day brightener on Twitter. Live Action had a new series of undercover sting videos. So they looked at all the times that Planned Parenthood leaders said, you cannot defund Planned Parenthood, which is still, you know, that movement is progressing at legislative levels, not only at states, but at the national level, that taxpayer dollars for women's health care would go to community organizations or community health centers that don't also perform abortions. That's the premise behind defunding Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood's answer has been, you're taking health care from women, from poor women. And you know, it's not just abortions. We do all these other things, including mammograms and prenatal care. They made those statements again and again and again. And they don't offer mammograms or prenatal care. So Live Action went undercover with telephone calls asking, do you provide prenatal care? I think they called 97 centers and 92 said, no, we don't do prenatal care. So that was a very interesting development. The call to defund Planned Parenthood rests in part on the existence of over 13,000 community health care clinics compared to under 700 Planned Parenthood locations. And of course, it's important to serve the needs of women from lower income households. But if this is an issue that's dear to your heart in terms of conscience rights as to where your tax dollars go, I urge you really to go to cradlemyheart.org and take a look at that story in the takeaway. And also, we've got a link to the full Senate investigative report that was triggered by the other undercover videos from the Center for Medical Progress about whether or not Planned Parenthood and others were acting properly in the use of fetal tissue in for research. And we've got a link to the full Senate report. And what this showed was a largely unregulated industry. And they called for much heavier regulations, but also they recommended Congress take steps to do criminal and regulatory referrals in cases of abortion providers and tissue procurement companies in three or four different states. They made 9 criminal and regulatory referrals. There's a lot to know there and a lot to see. And so we took the time to post that for you, and I would urge you to learn more about it at cradlemyheart.org. Thank you so much for making us part of your weekend. We are glad to be here. We always are available via email, and there's a way to contact us confidentially that way on cradlemyheart.org as well. Hope to hear from you. We'll see you next week. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.